Company of One, episode number 75.
Welcome to the Company of One podcast featuring Dale Callahan, dedicated to helping you find freedom in life and with your career. Learn how to not only increase your income, but take control of the income you acquire. Let's ignite that inner entrepreneur in you. Now, welcoming your host, Dale Callahan.
Okay, how many of you have heard the term follow your passion? Just let your passion guide you to the new career. Is that bad advice or not? You know, as I speak in public, a lot of times when I will talk about finding your calling or I will teach somebody about finding your calling, people will come up to me afterwards and say, Dale, I love the follow your passion idea, or Steve Jobs talked about the follow your passion idea. And usually I'm kind of thinking, well, I didn't exactly say follow your passion. But sometimes people will come up to me and say, well, have you read that, Dilbert, Scott Adams, or Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs, where they talk about follow your passion, and it's the dumbest advice we've ever heard. And they'll come up and tell me, hey, there's these guys that are out there that are telling just the opposite advice you are. And again, I'm thinking, well, I'm not so sure I said follow your passion, but I mean, it's an entertaining discussion. And I hear it all the time. But here's every now and then people come up to me and they'll make these statements. And recently, a good friend of mine, Rusty Hyde of Hyde Engineering, he sent me this thing. And Rusty's been one of the guys that kind of questions the calling aspect for a while. And so I wanted to bring this up, that he sent me to something the other day and basically said, hey, look at what Mike Rowe says about finding your calling being the dumbest idea he's ever said. That kind of fits Rusty. Rusty's been telling me for a while, it's not about finding your passion or finding your calling. It's about, becoming passionate where you are. So that's kind of an interesting thought, that as we look at things and as we kind of struggle through what we should be doing, what we are doing, and if you are in a place that it's not exactly ideal for you from a career perspective, what should you be doing? What are the right things for you? Should you be trying to find and follow your passion, or should you be just going out and taking a job, digging ditches and trying to find joy and passion for ditches? I mean, that's essentially the argument, right? But with so many smart people, and I've seen Rusty is one of those guys that likes to challenge thinking, and I think in a good way, and it's made me think. Well, it encountered in with many other things. So as you've noticed, I haven't done a lot of podcasting where I've kind of been skimpish. If you follow this podcast, I've skipped a week, and then I did last week or the week before last, and then I skipped a week again. It's the beginning of the fall. It's crazy. I've been doing some speaking engagements, and I've just been totally wiped out and burned out. And this question, follow your passion or not, hit me right in the middle of this. And I was actually at the beach. I was actually working. As my wife said, I was paid for it to work 4 hours that paid for a beach trip, but which is maybe fairly accurate. But we're at the beach. Theoretically, we should be relaxing and everything, but it was pretty tense. I don't know why, but when Rusty sent me this email and was just, hey, think about this. This guy, Mike Rowe, is talking about follow your passion is bad. I mean, is bad advice. It kind of hit me. And maybe this is where a lot of people I am coaching kind of comes back into, because I'm coaching so many people in a couple of different settings. And some of them are just taking off, doing amazing things. And some of them are struggling. And there's always a mixture when you're dealing with people that you're trying to help them find their way, if you will, whether it's in business or in just their career. So when Rusty said this about follow your passion is bad advice, and he's not saying that, he's just really re-quoting what somebody else is saying, the first thing that came to my mind was maybe this needs to be explored. Maybe this needs to be explored. But the second thing that came up to my mind was, did I really say that? Is that what I am saying? You know what? I actually searched over my blog trying to find out where I said follow your passion. And I don't say, I'm sure I've said it. I'm sure probably you've said it. We've all said it. And it's kind of like this mantra that everybody touts is follow your passion and everything will work out. But it doesn't seem to be what I've been saying. And I'm not saying that in a defense. I'm saying that because I kind of thought I was saying it, but as I looked at it, it wasn't what I was saying. So I was a little confused. I was trying to figure out, okay, well, what's Rusty talking about? And then I realized something that's happening is when you speak, we are such a soundbite generation. When you speak, people interpret what you say into the soundbites they know. So when I mention finding a calling and passion is important and those kind of things, people come up and they say, that means follow your passion. And when Mike Rowe and Scott Adams and many other people have written, it's follow your passion, it is bad advice, what they read and hear from them, which is not accurate from them either, is they read and hear from them that it's a terrible idea to follow your passion. And that's not what they are saying either. Neither one of these guys and many other people, they're not saying there's anything wrong with passion or following your passion or letting your passion guide you through your career, whatever. They're not saying that. We're just a soundbite generation. And the only people I know that go up there that really say a lot of follow your passion is the Hollywood people who are accepting an award. Follow your passion. Hold on to your dream. Which I guess if you're going to make $100 million to do a film, that sounds great. Except for all the rest of the jokers out there that are broke. But all of this makes you wonder, is follow your passion bad advice? Is it bad career advice? Is it bad advice from any perspective? So I'm sitting here looking at some of the notes that I was looking at earlier when I did this, and it occurred to me, the word follow implies a leader. Does that make sense? The word follow implies a leader. So if you're following your passion, it is you who must lead. Because it is your passion. Because passion itself doesn't really lead, right? It's you that leads. That's kind of like follow your happiness. You still have to lead. If you follow your sadness, you still have to lead. So it requires leadership. To follow your passion requires leadership. I hope that makes sense to you because that seems to be the breakdown of what's going on. That there is no leadership. In my experience, people can find a passion and let it drive them, or they find something to be passionate about in what they do. It's one of the two. I'm talking about successful people. So as I look at people, and I don't know which one Rusty is or Scott Adams is or you know, many friends of mine, what they are. But I know there are specific clients that I have interviewed on this podcast that have followed their passion, if you will. They have found their calling, if you want to use those words, and they have been wildly successful and continue to be wildly successful. And I interview them. Now, I also know people who have found themselves in situation and have become passionate. Now, I will say that success requires some set of passion. You know, and if you're I know I read an article where Mike Rowe was talking about this guy in the septic tank business, you know, and he's very successful. And, you know, I think I would have a hard time being passionate about septic tanks, but you might get passionate about the business. You might be passionate about some aspect of the business, even though you're probably not passionate about the thing itself. I don't know. Maybe there are some people that are passionate about that, but I'd really rather not know that. But here's the problem, because you can't say it's bad advice when there are people who have followed this advice to the pot of gold. Now, this is what Mike Rowe complains. He says, you know, there is this image of you follow it to the pot of gold, and talking about the first time he heard this advice, there was a picture, follow your passion to the pot of gold, and there are people who do it. So you can't say it doesn't work as a scientific experiment. If you can find one example that it works, you can't say it's bad advice. So what is it that makes it work? That's what I started wondering on the beach. Why does it work for some people and it doesn't for others? And there's a couple of things that we came up with, but here's kind of the obvious one. Too often, follow your passion becomes an excuse for inaction and laziness. And, or, fear. Now, do we know these kind of people, the people that are saying, well, I'm waiting to find my calling. I'm still working on trying to find my passion. I mean, I know those kind of people who basically are doing nothing. They're sitting still. Now, I don't mean they're totally sitting still. They may be showing up at work, but many of them are underpaid, undervalued, and they will say, I won't step out and do the thing I really am passionate about because I haven't figured it out. You know, what is my passion? I'm not, and I know people who are very successful in their career in terms of the amount of money they make, and, you know, they look very successful, but they're struggling inside with this question. Maybe they shouldn't. Maybe they should let it go. But there's something inside of them driving them to say, I'm not really happy doing what I'm doing. What do I want to do? But the problem is they continue to do what they do and don't move. They fail to take action year after year. They fail to take action year after year. Now, that's the key thing there. They fail to take action. But they're successful. They're making money. They're doing their job. They're showing up at work. They may hate their job. I don't know, but they're showing up and doing it. There are other people. On another side of the fence, there's another group of people that I encounter a lot that are trying to find their passion, and they're sitting there on their duff and they're doing basically nothing, or they're doing something very minimalistic, and they call themselves, I'm waiting. You know, this is that group of people that say, I'm trying to find myself. I'm trying to find what I'm passionate about, and when they sit there for a long period of time. Now, hey, if you're there, I've been there too. Matter of fact, I think I've been in both of those categories at various times of my life, and a lot of people have. If you read Steve Jobs' biography, he has. He's been in both of those categories, which is a little shocking. But the point is, don't stay there. The key, I hope you see, is action. It's execution. It's trying something. People will say that that you shouldn't follow your passion. It's bad advice. What they're saying is that people who sit there on their duff, they try to find their passion, and they never connect their passion to anything that makes money. That's bad advice. I don't want to misquote Mike Rowe, what I've read from him saying in Mike Rowe of Dirty Jobs. But, you know, me paraphrasing what he says in my understanding is, you know, find something you're passionate about, go out, kill it, make it happen. If it doesn't work out, twist it, change it again. Get your butt moving. Don't just sit there and say, I'm waiting to find my passion. That's the thing. That's the thing that I see people are doing. There's an entire world out there of a market that is waiting on you to act, to serve. Now, Let me. I'm gonna throw in a third character in here, Cal Newport. And some of you may not know Cal Newport, but he's a blogger. I believe he's a faculty member, but he's a of some university. I'm not even sure, but he does some blogs about some university stuff, and he says basically that he mentions that in research, people do not have pre-existing passions. That the whole idea of finding your calling, that we don't have a calling. Now, again, you know, I think that could be taken out of context, but that statement is crazy. We all have things we're passionate about. What Cal is discovering, or what the research he's looking at is discovering, is most people cannot see their passion. Now, that sounds a little strange, but I run into this constantly. People can't see it's sitting in front of their face, and they cannot see it. I've had, you know, you can talk about research and everything. I've had hundreds of conversations with clients who say they do not have a passion or about anything, only to discover their eyes light up the minute I lead them to talk about their passion. Does that make sense? People will tell me they are not passionate about anything, that they're good at their job, they do these things, but they're not passionate. And then you can lead them in the conversation to their passion, and you can tell. And it's not because I'm smarter than you. Anyone can tell, wow, I just hit a topic you're passionate about. I had this conversation the other day, and some lady was telling me she cannot find her calling. She doesn't know what her calling is. She'd been struggling with it for a while. So we talked. She's a bookkeeper, financial bookkeeper, for I think an insurance firm, if I remember. And, you know, she likes her job, but she's not real passionate about it. She's looking for a new job. But she didn't know what her calling was. She didn't really have anything she was passionate about. So we just had this conversation. I asked her things she liked to do and everything. And it's kind of, you know, her conversation, her tone, her demeanor, her posture was everything like it was passive. You know what I mean? She wasn't really into the conversation until we got into something that she was passionate about. And then we started talking about, and I don't know the words she used, horticulture, planting plants in the yard, beautification of the yard work, whatever you want to call that. You could tell she loves that. She loves doing that stuff. Now, I've had this conversation many times with many people who will tell me they're not passionate about anything, and yet the conversation will lead to something like that. And what happens, and this is why I think Cal Newport and the research he has found says people don't have a passion, it's because they're blinded to their passion. A lot of us do have a passion, but we don't understand that our passion does have potential in the marketplace. This lady was telling me that she did not want to go start a company in the horticulture business selling plants. She's not really an expert. You know, she doesn't want to try to do those kind of things and start a business that's too risky for where she's at. And she's a bookkeeper. This is her financial expertise. So this is where she needs to say, can you relate to that? You know, I'm kind of passionate about this one thing, but that's a big leap. I'm really good at this thing that pays well. So I need to keep doing the thing that pays well. Can you relate to that? I can relate to that. I think all of us, that's where we've all been at a period of time. So I ask her this simple question. Why couldn't you be a bookkeeper for a landscaping services company or a company that sells plants? Or, you know, somebody, I said, they do books too. They have financial stuff too. They're businesses. And you can just tell the look in her eye was as if, well, I've never thought of that. Now, I don't know if she'd ever thought about that before or not, but to realistically, I'm like, if you are counting financial stuff related to things you love, I'm talking about how many azaleas we sold and how much monkey grass we sold or whatever the stuff is called, you know, how much of this stuff we sold last year, is that better than how many insurance policies we sold? Which one had you rather be counting? And plus, if you're working for that firm, how likely is it for you to have to get up and walk around stuff and count and be engaged in it And then how likely is it to find yourself helping customers because you just happen to be on the floor and suddenly you're engaged in the business because you're close to it? How can you take your talents and get them close to your passions? It doesn't always have to be a big leap. We usually don't see our own opportunities. I say all this partly because when my friend Rusty challenged me with this, it was a challenge. And I have to agree, there's so much to be said about find passion where you are. That what's wrong with that? Nothing. And I find that there's too many people chasing a passion and not getting off their butt and doing something. And I think that's unacceptable. Even if it's me and you doing it, even if it's Rusty doing it, even if it's Mike Rowe doing it, of Dirty Jobs, that's kind of unacceptable. You got to get up and move and take some action, and it moves you to a place. It moves you to a place that you find that you're passionate. But you only get there through action. And I just think about Mike Rowe. You know, not that he's a hypocrite, because I don't think he is, but it's kind of entertaining. He may have done Dirty Jobs and he may have done all these kind of things, but he seems pretty passionate about telling the story. He seems to have found his way through work. No question, I'm guessing this guy probably worked hard. He probably still works hard, but he seems to have found his way to something he's passionate about. He's passionate about talking about it. He's passionate about doing it. And he seems to have found his way to deliver messages that you don't have to have college, that there's all those jobs out there. You know, and they're important messages, dadgummit. What he's saying, he's one of a minority saying it. And he seems passionate about it. But he, I don't know where he started. I don't know if he started in a septic tank business, but he started doing something. And it led him to something else. So I'm guessing he's probably passionate about what he's doing now. I don't know that. I haven't asked him. But I'm guessing he is. But he got there through action. Is finding your passion bad advice? Maybe. Maybe it is. I like the word calling because I think calling tries to connect things you're passionate about and you care about and you love to the market and money. Because you can't do something without making money for it. And I would like to say, well, let me come up with another statement, but that ends up with another soundbite, right? If I change it to something like, you know, let your passion propel you to something, or execution is the key, there's another soundbite that we can argue with. I think we have to use common sense here. Is passion important? Can we use our passion if we lead it and take advantage of it? Yes, there's examples. Yes, there's examples. Can I use my passion as an excuse to not do anything? Yes, there are examples of that too. But you must take action. Passion is a wonderful thing to have. Passion without action is pretty empty. But just as well, maybe action can lead to passion.